Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast, It's Football, Not Soccer. I'm your host, Atharva Ranjan. Today's episode is going to be an overview of the UCL and UEL finals. First, let's talk about the Europa League finals. It was between Villarreal and Manchester United. Manchester United lost. It was 1-1 in till extra time, and then in penalties, it ended at 11-10 when De Gea's penalty was saved by Villarreal's goalkeeper, Rulli. So, Sparsh, how did you feel about this last-minute, disappointing loss, I would say?
Yeah, so, I mean, we live in India. So, the match started at 12:30 at night. Okay, at night. And it ended at 3:30, between 3:30 and 4. So, it was a tough 3.5 hours to endure, because we saw, the whole match, it was pretty slow. It was pretty boring, to be honest, for a final. Because I thought that the United, I'll speak from United perspective because I'm a United fan. So United, I don't think they did enough. They had rest, a lot of rest, because in previous match against Wolves, the first team was rested. And they had a good 4-5 days to just concentrate on training and the final. And I don't think they turned up. So Bruno Fernandes, our best player, arguably our best player, I don't think he turned up. Rashford, he tried, but I mean, he messed up a lot. Greenwood was one of those players who was actually trying and kind of pinning Villarreal back a bit. Cavani, obviously, he scored a goal, which was a good predatory goal. But overall, throughout the course of the first 90 minutes, when we got the goal at the 55th minute, we had a good 10-15 minute spell. But we couldn't capitalize on that. I saw Ollie being really furious. So I, usually Ollie always sits calmly. He stares at his screen. I play some video games at him. He was standing and he was completely furious at, I think it was Cavani, I don't know, but so that was the moment I understood that the players, they didn't turn up. Even Ollie was furious about it. And so one more thing we can all agree on is many people are now divided on Ollie because he lost the final and he has not won a trophy yet. About 2.5 years in the club, and many people are debating whether he's the right man or he's not. I think he is the right man because he has shown a lot of progress. But this was a really massive letdown because a trophy would have solidified his job and credibility with the fans, the board. But I don't think it's the season is so cruel. One kick decided whether it was a successful season for us or not. And that David De Gea, it's just him who missed it. And yeah, it was with that one kick, it was, the season was certified as a failure.
Well, and this one thing that we've always talked about, and I'm addressing it again, we don't push the ball ahead quick enough. And our midfielders are just, they don't put in that work effort that you're supposed to be doing. And because of that, it just causes a major issue overall. We're just not able to convert chances. We're not able, even if we have chances, we don't do it. So, yeah, it's just been, I don't know, man.
McTominay
did well. Exactly.
Usually, McTominay actually played well.
He played well. Yeah. I agree with you. And Pogba didn't show up. He did his thing. He drifted apart. And Rashford, it's because, man, he's been playing through his injuries. Ole doesn't trust his bench. We didn't make the substitution. Our first substitution was in extra time. That shows how less he trusts our bench. And if that doesn't tell you, if that doesn't show how much Ole was in bagged last summer, it should show them now that it's time for change. 4 years, no trophy. 2.5 years with Ole, no trophy. First, Ole needs to be bagged before any other change is made. until he's not bagged in a summer window, we're not gonna win anything. Especially with that McFred at the back, nothing's happening.
McFred and Lindelof.
Lindelof too, exactly. And you could see even at halftime. At halftime when they were 1-0 down, there was this video I had seen of Sky Sports where nobody seemed even motivated that they're. Okay, we're 1-0 down. We need to do something now. It was like the bench was trying to push them ahead. Come on, boys. It's just 1-0. We can do this. We can still win this. But the players just look like, yaar, khelna hi nahi hame. We don't want to play this game.
Like they were playing the final. They were going through the motions.
Exactly.
It was the first final they played under Orient. Yeah, it was really depressing. But to be fair, Villarreal, they gave us a good fight.
I agree. They did actually do good, especially defensively, how their fullbacks do not defend as usual fullbacks do. They push back closer towards the center halves. And, now let's let the neutral fans give their opinion. Pranav?
Yeah, well, coming into this game, obviously, Villarreal were the obvious underdogs. And I think United, the club as a whole, have taken a massive L. I mean, just how Atav mentioned, their defense was so solid. I think so. Emery, he instructed them to do that. They didn't want to have a lot of possession of the ball and they were pretty much comfortable. They looked very comfortable in the game. But one player, Gerard Moreno scored the goal and he's having an absolute amazing season. 30 goals this season, it's unbelievable. Then you have Dani Parejo, who's a year ago, I'd like to remind you, he was playing at Valencia. He'd been playing there for around 7 or 9 years. He was the captain, stripped of the captaincy, wasn't told why he was kicked out of the club. And now he just came here and won, Villarreal's first major trophy, which is a big, big deal. And again, credit to Emery, the king of Europa League. So, amazing job.
Amit?
Yeah, Coquelin joined Pareo at Villarreal, leaving Valencia this season as well. And this contributed to the rock-solid defense in the finals. Emery deserves a lot of credit. He was made an absolute joke at Arsenal for the way he says good evening and just everything in general. He was booted out of the club. He goes to Villarreal and he's shown that he can manage a team really well. The players, there were people talking about how he could like rotate the team. I remember that United hadn't made any substitutions to like the 100th minute or something. Emery had made like all five of his by like the 85th or something. It was just the way he timed everything. He's a master of winning the Europa League and Villarreal executed. I think they executed his plan to perfection, wore their heart on the sleeves, put in everything they had, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, so like I believe Spurs said that he would want Ole to continue as United's manager, and I really don't think that he should, because what just you saw in this game, the game management by Ole was terrible. Like he waited till the 100th minute to make his substitutions. That's way too late to make a substitution. And first of all, the quality that United have, they should have finished the game well within the 90 minutes. And if you look at the squad that he put out and then you look at the bench, I don't see a single player on the bench that I would look at and say, yeah, this player is going to win them the match. I mean, for Ole, he's going to substitute his entire career and you're making substitutions wrong. That's just, I don't get that. Ole's at the wheel. Yeah, Ole is at the wheel of a second-hand Maruti Suzuki trying to compete in an F1 race.
Yeah, let me. Good roast, by the way, I have to give you that one. But yeah, Ole was like arguably the best substitute player ever. Okay, so I think he knows a thing or two about making subs at the right time and when not to make subs. Because there's no player on the bench, as you said yourself, there's no player on the bench who will come on and make a difference. No one. Who you think that, like, if he subs on Dan James instead of Marcus Rashford, Dan James will somehow conjure something up? Nope. Who else? Mata. He's past it. Matic. He's a defensive player. Fred. He brought on Fred because he, at the 110th minute, I think, or 105th minute, when we needed legs in the midfield, because Villarreal had, they have players on the bench who can come in and they can kind of control the game. We don't have any player on a bench to do that, because Ranjan will agree with me on this. He wasn't backed last summer. He has overachieved. He wasn't backed. That's how bad the board is. It's making me stutter now. Ed Woodward, okay. Now, you don't want me to start on Ed Woodward now, okay? Because he had to get Sancho in, okay? He had to get a center back in last summer. We didn't get any of them, okay? And with he got Alex Telles and some couple of young teenagers on the right wing instead of Sancho. That was not at all what we needed. And even with that, Ollie has, I think I'll say he has overachieved the season, but Europa League, he should have won. And I'll say that he didn't. There was no way he could have made any sub which would have made a difference. So I completely disagree with you on that. So yeah, Ollie's at the wheel.
Well, actually, yeah, Spurs is right, because finally his substitutions were smart. He brought on penalty shooters. People who can convert a penalty, and they actually did do that. Alex Telles, Juan Mata, Fred, all these people know how to take a penalty, and he was sure of that fact. Maybe that's why he didn't bring on Van de Beek. It is arguable that Van de Beek should have been brought on. Maybe he would have scored that goal in extra time or in the within the 90 minutes. Because Van de Beek is that one, he has done it before.
But so Scott McTominay, he played really well.
Exactly.
So he couldn't take him off.
Exactly.
And as he was a substitute player, one of the best substitute players ever, he knows when to make a sub and when not to. So there was no reason for him to sub any player off, except Rashford. Rashford, it could be argued for Dan James, but it's Dan James. I mean, Rashford is a moments player. He can play very bad for about 100 minutes, and then it will just take a split second for him to do some masterclass, okay? So you can't take him off. There's no one else you can take. You can't take any other player off. So I'll disagree with you on that one. Ranjan, you were saying?
No, you're totally right. You pretty much summed it all up. So yeah, he just needs to be bagged. We need that depth. That our depth is not a depth. It's not like a strong depth. I'd call it shallow. It's shallow.
Very shallow.
Yeah, because you don't have trusted players on the bench. And when you don't have trusted players on the bench, it's not going to work.
Yeah, okay. Amit, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I did. I actually don't... The thing about the Villarreal game was Villarreal had half of their team off the pitch by the 80th minute, man. They could run. They had legs in them. They were playing this low block. And Rashford, I saw he missed this absolute sitter. And I feel like after a point, you need to realize that it's not his day. You need to, even though I think all of us know that Rashford is a much better player than Dan James, caliber-wise and the way he plays as well. But I do feel like sometimes you need to realize that it's not your day. I feel like Rashford has played way too much this season. He did have the last week, last Premier game week off, but the amount of games he's played this season, it almost looked like he was injured. Another substitution, of course, I don't think I should criticize him on bringing penalty takers on, because I thought it was a good move. But another substitution that he could have made in retrospect was maybe subbing on Dean Henderson for David De Gea, because his penalty record is much superior when it comes to saving pens. Then again, it's something that I can only talk about in retrospect.
You just have to agree to disagree.
Well, you could say that, but that thing that you said, De Gea is much more experienced than Dean Henderson.
I'm so sorry.
He's just much more Dean Henderson's penalty saves were against when he played for Sheffield United on loan and stuff. So you can't really, I mean, come on, what was the best team he played? Brentford or those kind of teams? Here, you're playing against a team from the Spanish league.
That's what I'm trying to say. It seems like an ideal option in retrospect, taking his penalty record into consideration, but I don't feel like it was something exactly. people have thought about during the game.
Yeah, to just end it, Oli at the end of the post-match conference, he said that he just stuck with the keeper who played the whole game. He knew he was on the pitch, and that is a very common sense answer. So yeah,
exactly, you're totally right. Anyway, let's end this now. Let's move to the UEFA Champions League. Final was just as according to the date we're recording this, the finals was just last night. And I gotta say, it was quite the game. Manchester City versus Chelsea. Chelsea wins 1-0 after 42nd minute goal by Kai Havertz. So, Bappert and Kevin, you're the City fans. I mean, I gotta say, I'm sorry. Major respect for the team. But what do you guys think about it? Kevin?
Yeah, obviously really, really disappointed about how the season has come to an end after all the previous year's heartbreak in the Champions League, to be so close to winning it once and for all and to lose it in the last the final match. Very, very disappointing. The players let us down massively in the arguably the biggest game in our recent history. We were nowhere near the team that cruised through the other knockout stage matches. Questionable team selection from Pep as well, playing without a central defensive midfielder and playing in out of form Raheem Sterling. So yeah, I still think it's a successful season, and there's definitely progress made in the Champions League that we have never done before. Had a very disappointing end to it, and hopefully we can be back at this stage soon.
Bappert?
Yeah, as Kevin said, it's really disappointing. The final game of the season, their high hopes, you know, clinch that silverware that we were looking for a long time now. But it just wasn't to be. Chelsea, I mean, credit to them. Tuchel has done a masterclass at Chelsea in just 6 months, transformed them completely from a poor defensive side to now probably the best defense in Europe. So, credits to them, obviously. But I just feel like Pep overthought it again. I mean, there was no need to play Sterling in the biggest game in our history. He was completely out of form, and there were no signs that he was improving and was actually going to make a difference. Reece James totally pocketed him. Credit to him as well. But he should have gone with the tried and tested team selection with Fernandinho as a CDM. And you could see that he really made a difference in the second half when he came on. Totally transformed the way we played. And if we had started with him, probably would have had a different result, I feel.
Amit, you're the Chelsea fan. You must be like, well, how do you feel about it, actually? Just tell us your...
This was... Yeah, I went into this game and I started watching it. And the moment Kai Havertz scored, I realized that this is the biggest like match I've had, like a horse in the race. I've had like a horse in my race. Because like... all the other times, like ever since I've become a football fan, I've seen Spurs and Liverpool play. I was like, okay, whoever wins, fair enough. Liverpool was the better team, good for them. I've seen Madrid and Liverpool play. It didn't really affect me. And then when Havertz scored, I was like, oh my god, okay, so this is the team I'm supporting. They're playing this game. And as Bappert just said, Tuchel has done he's turned our fortunes around. From like drawing 3-3 with Southampton to like winning Champions Leagues, honestly, it was an amazing. I actually think City were the better team on the night with the possession and stuff, but Chelsea played on the counter attack. We took our chances, and that's what matters. Each of the players gave it their all. The Antonio Rudiger block of Phil Foden's shot, as Aspilicueta's clearance. Thiago Silva being immense until he had to be sucked off. Christensen coming in, giving it his all. Mason Mount, we spoke about him in the last episode. Amazing ball. I won't say it's enough. It was a really good ball for Havertz, who rounds Ederson. It was a really nice way to end the season. I'm really happy about it.
Okay, Pranav, you had something to ask about this.
Yeah, actually, my question was for Amit, because like, as you mentioned, what an amazing job Tuchel has done ever since he's come in, like finished fourth, winning the Champions League. And so, I mean, what's scary is that he's only been at this club for 4 months, but what's more scary is that he hasn't even been back in a summer transfer window. So I just wanted to ask you that, what do you think should be Chelsea's goal for next season?
Okay, so I think this squad has a really good spine. I feel like the spine of this squad is great, but it can be upgraded. For example, you look at the striker position. I've had more pigeons shit on me than Werner has scored goals this season. It's genuinely depressing. If you get in someone who gives you guaranteed goals, I'm not saying get in a Haaland who'll score 40 a season. Get in someone who scores like 20, 25, not 6 per season. It'll be much better. I do think Thiago Silva is aging and the defense needs a leader. So a center back can come in handy, and having someone to strengthen the midfield is always amazing. That's practically all I have to say. It's a really good team, and it can be improved in a few positions. And if it is, we're back up there for the Prem.
So my next question was actually to the City fans here, that like you won the Carabao Cup, semi-finals of the FA Cup, the Premier League, and the finals of the Champions League. So do you think this was a successful season? Because like your main goal was to win the Champions League, but still, would you still consider it as a successful season or not?
Well, in reality, it has been a successful season, but it just feels like a failure because of the way it has ended. Our ambition from the start was to win the Champions League. We failed to do it at the last hurdle. That's why it feels like a failure, but in reality, it is a success, I would say.
Kevin, what do you feel about
it? I feel the same. It feels like a failure, but it's not really. For us City fans, the biggest achievement is to win the Champions League, and we were so close to winning it. And the last match, we failed what we were supposed to do. So, yeah, it does feel like a failure because we had won Premier Leagues and Carabao Cups a lot in the past. This is the one trophy we have always wanted. And to have this end to the season, it definitely does feel like a failure, even though it's not.
Well, actually, I had this one more question for the City fans. So, when Tottenham reached the UCL finals under Pochettino, that was basically their peak, and that was when it all went downhill. So, do you guys actually see that happening for City, or is next year going to be another battle for it? Because I actually thought that this year was City's. Even though with Aguero's injury and everything, the way they played every game was with that winner's mentality. That this time, it's us. We're going to take it home. Although you didn't, but what do you think? Is it going to be a peak? Is it going to keep going up? Or is it going to just go downhill from now?
I don't think it's good. Yeah, go on, Bapa.
Yeah, go on, Kevin. Go on, Kevin.
Okay, so I feel like I don't think we'll ever go downhill when Pep's in charge. He'll always keep the team motivated, and he's always hungry to win more and more. So there's no question that we'll go downhill. But yeah, we can. There's no guarantee that we're gonna play with the same mentality next season. The players have to keep believing until the trophy is in their hands. So next season we need to go all out for the UCL again, as we have always done. The league, we are defending the league. We have to put up a respectable title fight as well. So yeah, I don't think we'll go downhill, but yeah, there's definitely work to be done to get to that European elite level.
Papa,
yeah,
what do you think?
So, yeah, I would agree with Kevin. Like before this season, we had this, you know, quarterfinals curse. We couldn't get past the quarterfinal stage under Pep. But this season, we finally did that. And I think that builds confidence in the players' minds that we can go again next season and reach this stage again. So I think definitely this is not the peak, 100%. We can definitely do one better and actually win it next year.
I just wanted to ask another question actually for the City fans again. So this season again, you didn't play with the striker, obviously. So do you think that now in the summer, the City should go all out for Harry Kane or Haaland? Kevin, please.
We definitely do need a striker. That there's no question about it. We could see yesterday that we were creating chances, but there was no one in the box to finish them. And with an out-and-out striker like Aguero used to do previous years, this year is obviously not been at his very best due to injuries and for form. We definitely need someone like a Haaland or a Kane to come in and back those 20-30 goals every year. And with the midfield that we have and the creative players that we have, it's almost a guarantee that he's going to bag in a lot of goals. So yeah, striker is the top of our priorities going into this summer.
So who do you guys want? Do you want a big shot Harry Kane, big shot Erling Haaland, or would you even go for maybe an Andre Silva?
If given a choice, I would definitely take Haaland because of the age, the potential, and already the consistency that he's shown at the top level. So Haaland, but realistically, I think Kane is our best choice because he has played in the Premier League. He has a good understanding of it. Consistently scores 20 plus goals every season, won the Golden Boot this year. And I think he's a really good fit for this City team because he likes to drop deep and also create and not just only score goals. So I think that he'll be a really good addition to this team and he can really flourish.
Amit, you have something to add?
Yeah, I was in our very first episode, we spoke about how Chelsea always looks like it's almost done, that you have like a project there that requires only 1 or 2 years. With Manchester City, I feel like it requires one player. Like you get one striker in and all of a sudden the half chances that you had yesterday, I can say you had like 5 or 6 half chances. I remember watching the game and I was proper scared while watching it. And I feel like if you had an out-and-out striker just to stand there and just do something as simple as tap it in, or Danny Ings, not even like a Haaland, I feel like the game could have been yours or could have gone to extra time minimum. Having a false nine, I have huge respect for the City team and the way Pep has built it. But I feel like having a false nine doesn't give you those guaranteed goals someone like a Sergio Aguero has given City for these past 10 odd years, which I think having a striker would give them.
Yeah, so adding on to that question, so obviously a striker, which we discussed about Harry Kane or Haaland, which you all talked about, but if given the chance, Athar, Bapat, you are a Barca fan, so would you take Messi as well?
Why wouldn't I take Messi? Who wouldn't take Messi?
How will he add? Like, because you have some right wingers. You have Bernardo Silva, you have Mahrez. Wouldn't that just be overkill?
I don't think it will be overkill because he's not a static player. He doesn't stay in one position. I think he can float into the midfield, probably even go to the left wing. He's that kind of player that you just put into any team, he's going to make a difference. No doubt about it. No wonder he's called the GOAT. So, yeah, why wouldn't I take Messi?
But again, I mean, I'm just saying, but it's like he also plays that false nine role, right? Or a central attacking midfielder, or maybe the right wing. You guys, it'll just be a repetition of this year, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, but we're talking about arguably the greatest player of all time. Who wouldn't want him? I mean, even if he plays a false nine, he's still gonna bag 20 goals. I'm sure of it.
Okay, well.
Yeah, it's just as Kevin said, like, you can buy Messi as well if he wants to come over. He seems like he's going to stay at Barca for a few years. But it's just as Kevin said, you are guaranteed goals with Messi. You are going to get a minimum of like 25-30 goal contributions in a year. And those small half chances, Messi can, you don't even need those half chances. Messi can create things out of nothingness. And I feel like having Messi in any team is an absolute like luxury, of course. But I feel like since the City team is solid at the back as well, now having Messi do his thing, being in his free role, is also something that won't be detrimental to them.
I had just one last question. do you guys still trust Pep in taking you guys for the UCL glory? I mean, he himself has said that he only won the UCL because at Barca, because he was lucky. He had those players. Do you guys trust him enough to take you to UCL glory?
Yeah, definitely. Pep has all the right tools at his disposal right now at City. No doubt he had one of the greatest teams in the world ever at Barcelona. But I think he can replicate that because he still has players like KDB, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, Mahrez at his disposal at City. So I don't see a reason why he can't repeat it. I mean, he showed it this year. We reached the final. That's no mean feat. And I think that says a lot that we can go and take the next step to UCL glory.
Kevin?
Yeah, definitely. If anyone can take us to UCL glory, it's going to be Pep. He already, like Bapal said, he already has all the players he needs. Maybe one or two more, and we are probably at a higher level than we were this season. And he has instilled this winner's mentality, as I mentioned before. Players are always hungry to achieve more, and we are definitely going to be more determined and focused to get this next season.
Okay, well, valid points. Thank you, guys. I guess we'll wrap it up now. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. I know it was not that easy for us United fans and for the City fans to actually show up for this, but it was still worth it. And for the viewers out there, if you like this, please follow, share the word, and we'll see you in the next one.